Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Hello, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Army Wife Talk Radio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. I'm your host, Army Wife Network's Recon Representative, Caitlin Hevelon. Co-hosting with me today is Annie Pierce, our AWTR podcast production assistant. We are looking forward to sharing some empowering segments and resources with you today. And get ready, because it's a special edition of our podcast. This is show 907 of the leading and longest running podcast of its kind.
Thanks, Caitlin. And hello, everyone. We have some great stuff in store for you in this episode. In fact, it's a double feature. First up, we'll be sharing some of our weekly resources to help you excel in your mill spouse life. Then in just a bit, we will hear from Dr. Shrita Knobloch, Army Wife Network owner and commander, as she chats with Angie Fair and Denise Lewis with the Army Up Career Campaign. But that's not all. Later in our show, we'll hear from our second empowering interview with Jing Lansby and Hisako Santavale with First Command.
I'm looking forward to hearing both of these interviews. Annie, why don't you update me on what's new with your Household Six?
Oh, we are going through a fun military time. My husband is deployed, and my toddler and I are trying to find a new routine.
That is always a struggle. The coming and going, those first few weeks or months are always the worst.
Oh, let's go with weeks. Can we say weeks?
I'm crossing my fingers for you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to hope it's weeks. We'll figure it out, I'm sure. What about you? What's new in your household?
Not a whole lot. Just baking in the 110 plus degree West Texas desert heat.
Oh my goodness. When you said baking at first, I was like, okay, what are we baking? Like, I'm here for it.
I would love to bake, but not when it's this hot outside.
I was just going to say, not when it's that hot. No one wants to bake anything.
No.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, that's too hot for me. I'm good with Fort Drum's temperatures right now.
Never been there, but it sounds great at the moment.
It actually, like, I really like the area here. It's a really nice, I don't like the tempo of training and everything, but you know, but the area is wonderful.
You have to pick and choose. There's pros and cons to every location.
There really is. And you really have to make like the most of every location, you know? So we've been trying to hike. I even took him on a hike, just me and my toddler. And yeah, it may be a hot minute before we go on another hike.
You gotta try. You'll never know if you don't try.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been so great catching up with you, Annie. I'm ready to hear from our first guests, Angie and Denise from the Arm Me Up Career Campaign. Let's listen in.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Dr. Shrita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. Now, it's no secret that career ambitions as a male spouse become harder with each move. That's why I'm so excited to chat with today's guests, Angie Fair and Denise Lewis, about the Army Up Outreach Career Campaign. This campaign was created to empower Army spouses who've experienced those gaps in employment due to child rearing, remote duty stations, and of course, those frequent moves in PCSs. With the support of Army Up program sponsors, they've assisted over 400 Army spouses to find meaningful and fulfilling employment. The first of our dynamic duo today is Angie Fair, a career development professional, military employment advocate, and proud Army spouse of 15 years. She serves as the Army Up program coordinator for military spouse jobs and utilizes her knowledge of HR to assist veterans and mill spouses with career development fueled by her love of cultivating personal relationships and brokering community connections. And the other half of today's pair is Denise Lewis, Army brat and Army retired spouse. She holds a master's in management and leadership and has been personally impacted by employment opportunities due to frequent moves and those remote duty stations. Denise is grateful to work for an organization that's in line with her passion to empower spouses with upskill and employment opportunities at no cost. Angie, Denise, welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio. So excited to chat with the Army Up campaign experience today.
Thanks so much for having us. We're such a fan of your podcast and grateful for your continued commitment to empowering Army spouses and allowing us to have a minute to talk about the Army Up campaign.
Absolutely. I know that in the intro, we kind of talked about setting that context of what we're going to be chatting about today. And I identify a lot with those gaps in employment and how to make that kind of translate that into English for our civilian counterparts. I'm just now entering back into the workforce. And so it goes without saying that a lot of our lives focus on our soldier and their career. So it's really great to have you all here to chat with us to help with ours. So let's jump right in. Undoubtedly, there are a lot of organizations out there that assist military spouses with their career challenges. So what makes yours with Army Up campaign stand out?
Yeah, great question. So there are a lot of great organizations out there that do support and promote military spouse employment. A couple of things that make ours unique is one, our founder, Deb Kleppel, who is the founder and president, she's really a pioneer in the career development and military spouse advocacy space. Way back in 2004, she started what was then MSCCN, and now it's Military Spouse Jobs. But she created the first military spouse facing career development and empowerment organization. And although the organization has since evolved because spouses were promoting our organization to their veterans and service members, The fundamental heartbeat and pulse of the organization remains that we have this strong desire to see military spouses and Army spouses placed into successful and really meaningful careers. And how we do that is our services are tailored to meet the needs of each individual candidate that comes in. So we look holistically at what the needs of each Army spouse looks like, and then we build a personalized plan to get them to their career success.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense because I've seen so many other areas, other career experiences that it's like you have to tailor, of course, your resume and share your story because every mill spouse story is different. We've all had different experiences, different places, different seasons of life, different passions, different things that empower us and others. And it seems like quite the tall order to need to tailor our information to kind of get that out there. But to know that you all are there to back those mill spouses up, to help them in that process and to help them tell their story for those employment purposes is really encouraging. And so I really appreciate what you all do with that. You mentioned it kind of briefly, the way back beginnings, almost 20 years ago, which is crazy. Well, so what's the genesis for the Army Up campaign and why exactly was it created?
So essentially, there was some commitment from military spouse advocates and community leaders in the Army spouse space. And they noted and started to communicate with Deb, our founder, denoting that there was still, even though there was a lot of support out there, there's still a strong need to support within the Army spouse community with limited budgets and some cutbacks on the installation level. There's really still a high necessity to support our Army spouses getting into a meaningful career. And of course, you highlighted earlier that it's due to remote duty stations and the frequent moves. And sometimes, you know, I spent 3 years at Fort Polk. And so I definitely understand what it's like to be in locations that are not the hubs of economic industry. And so thanks to our funders, which were Veterans United Foundation and Prudential, we were able to launch a campaign, which is a targeted outreach marketing campaign to really connect with our Army spouse community and drive them into military spouse jobs to get the same proven services services that have been around since 2004. And so really, we are just looking at how we can really target our Army spouses, where they are, because we know that each branch is unique, just like each Army spouse that comes into our program is unique. Mm-hmm. And so Denise has really chaired that our outreach and our commitment to having a diverse approach to try to bring in as many Army spouses as possible to get them into our MSJ services.
Oh, thanks so much for sharing that with us, because I think I love that it's focused like a specific campaign. You know, obviously campaign's in the title, but sometimes I personally forget to separate kind of the campaign as an outreach experience from an organization. So I really appreciate that clarity there and what the purpose is behind it. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. I know that a lot of our listeners and myself included, very interested to know who exactly can register for your services and what does it cost?
So basically, our president, she didn't want to accept money. So money from funders with restrictions. And many funders will only fund organizations who serve active spouses. And so, of course, we serve active and retired spouses. But more important, we serve all spouses. So all branches, of course, but all spouses, family members, caregivers, and fiancés who were affiliated to a service member. And so really what that means is if your soldier served one day, you can register. If you were married to your soldier for a day, you still could register. And, you know, we have a lot of spouses that kind of get left behind who are divorced or who are separated, and they really have a financial impact, you know, based on, you know, those the cut in, you know, income that they may have. So that's why, you know, our president was really conscientious as to what money that she would accept so that she could expand these services to all spouses. And then, you know, we do kind of have a misconception about, you know, us just being a no-cost service. Sometimes people, you know, are a little dismayed when they see that, but you know, the thing that we really like to stress is that it's a no-cost service because of the, you know, gracious efforts of our funders. So that's why there are no fees. And they, you know, we've been so grateful for the assistance of Veterans United Foundation and Prudential.
Yeah, I hear you on that, because I think sometimes when we see something that's, quote, free or at no cost, that's the saying of like, you get what you pay for kind of reverberates to our head. But that's not true, especially for organizations and outreach campaigns like you all's and Army Wife Network. Like, nothing on either of our platforms, yours or ours, do we charge for. And I think all of our teams work super hard to make that available for MIL spouses, again, of all components, all experiences, and all branches, because even though we have Army Wife in our name, back again, years and years and years ago when it started, it was focused on Army and Wives. And now it, just like you all, it's evolved into all branches, all components, military girlfriends, military fiancés, Gold Star, retired, active duty, the whole gamut. And so I feel like we definitely have that in common. And I really think that's neat that you guys are being so intentional on reaching that demographic and providing that at no cost to the user, but instead really benefiting from your supporters. And so you've mentioned that briefly. Who are some of your key supporters and your advisors within the Army Up Outreach Career Campaign?
So I basically just mentioned who our financial supporters are, but we have a advisory committee that's comprised of Army Wives, and they have all, you know, been exactly what we are about and why we are trying to serve. And we meet monthly, but primarily Mrs. Maria McConville, wife of the Chief of the Army, is one of our honorary advisors.
Wow.
And she experienced on several occasions what it's like to, you know, be a spouse who is educated, and she's actually even served in the military. So she's got a lot of experience, but, you know, could never find adequate pay and mm-hmm. always had employment challenges. And then we have Mrs. Holly Daly, who is the wife of retired Command Sergeant Major Daly. And she is the current AUSA Family Forum Director, and then Veterans Home United Military Family Director. And so, you know, we are just so fortunate to have, you know, advisory guidance from them. And Mrs. McConville has even shared, she's got a great resource out that's a digital 3-page pamphlet that includes, you know, our organization and several other great organizations.
Well, congratulations on your progress there, but also goodness, those are big name folks. Those are some empowered military spouses that you've got in your corner. And so neat that you're sharing that with us and that they've got your back. They've got your six on your mission and what you're doing with the Army Up Outreach campaign. So thanks so much, ladies, so far for just giving us a taste of what you're doing, what your organization doing, the history behind the Army Up Outreach campaign for all things mill spouse career ambitions. Empowering fellow mill spouses along their career path is also a passion of ours here at Army Wife Talk Radio. So when we come back, we're going to keep the conversation going with more details about the Arm Me Up campaign for careers in the military spouse world. Listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Army Up Outreach Career Campaign, visit their website at militaryspousejobs.org/army-spouses, or check them out on social media on LinkedIn just by searching Arm Me Up Army Spouse Career Campaign. Now, if you're mobile, if your hands are full, just kind of busy, maybe you're driving, don't worry at all. If you want to connect and you miss those links, you can check that out over on our website, armywifenetwork.com. When this broadcast goes live, we'll have those live outbound links embedded right there in that post. Stay tuned for the rest of our interview after this super quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotions, podcast audio commercials, Facebook Lives, and so much more. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with two empowered military spouses, Angie and Denise, about the Army Up Outreach Career Campaign. So, gals, my next question, why do you think that that statistically military spouses have such a high unemployment rate?
Well, one thing, I mean, the statistics in general are staggering. So 92%, there's 92% of spouses who are women, and only 53% participated in the labor market. And Army spouses are typically most affected because of the breaks in employment, mm-hmm. remote duty stations, and frequent moves. I mean, I know for me, 32 years as a spouse, we moved 26 times. So, you know, despite what my, you know, education was, mm-hmm. even volunteer experience, you know, it was really hard to get, you know, gainful employment. But, you know, the great thing about us is that we always try to share with spouses, you know, right now you may be a statistic, and it might because you're child rearing or you're in a remote duty station, because sometimes it's hard to get jobs, you know, overseas because of the SOFA agreement. But we strongly encourage spouses to use our resources and stay relevant and engaged. So maybe you might need to be up to date on training. We can help you with that. You might want to, we have something that's called Spouse Nation, and you can get mentorship. If you want a career change, you can do career changes assessment. So there's a variety of things that we can help no longer be a statistic by mm-hmm. at least when we're in that, you know, phase of we're not ready to work, we will be ready to work mm-hmm. and we can start eat away at some of those huge statistical data.
I feel like you're preaching to the choir here, because I'm right there with you gals and probably with our listeners. It's not easy. Like if you feel called to work as a military spouse, that is a very tall order. And I was just kind of having a conversation with my husband. I think it was last week. Stereotypically, the at-home-ish spouse or the non-active duty spouse, they're what I call the default parent. So when something happens at school, a kid gets sick, school is canceled, snowstorm, whatever, even summer break. Like we're the ones often that need to have the contingency plan. And I feel like, at least for my husband, being active duty Army infantry, there's really no such thing as sick days for him. And maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm just overly optimistic, but I guess kind of in the civilian world, I think of a little more flexibility or a little more opportunity for sharing the default parent role. But also within the civilian world, rarely do they have to contend with things like week-long, two-week-long, month-long TDYs, deployments, and again, those PCSs. So you make a great point there, Denise, saying that like in those seasons of whether we're child-rearing or maybe not able to find the employment that matches our education or our calling, doing things to stay relevant so that when that season closes and it is time to enter back into the job market, we're ready to rock and roll. So tell us a little bit more specifically what you suggest to spouses who maybe aren't in the workforce about best ways to stay relevant for when that time comes when they are ready to re-enter the workforce.
I think this is a great conversation to have when it comes to remaining relevant, because there are going to be seasons in a Army spouse's life when maybe it is due to a deployment or your children are not quite school aged or for whatever reason that you are not actively in the workforce. I think the most important thing we as spouses can do is to remain engaged and in control of your career narrative in some way. So I always recommend that people remain engaged and connected to the workforce in some capacity, if it's through volunteering, even at schools, or you can volunteer remotely now. There are opportunities where you can still participate and stay relevant from in a work from home. It wouldn't be paid capacity, but you have that flexibility now. And so whether it's through volunteering or remaining connected with different organizations that are pertinent to your career field. So if you're a nurse or an educator or in HR, such as myself, I'm constantly having conversations within different social media groups, but then also local chapters of HR groups, that you can stay on top of what's happening in your career field so that at any given time, you still have those skills and are up to date with what's going on when you're ready to go back into the workforce. Also, it does keep you plugged in, so that networking piece is still there. You're going to have that footprint ready for whenever you are going to look for employment, that you'll have those connections to lean in on and to reach out to. Another thing that our individuals that come in to MSJ through the Army Up campaign, we actually have lots of training and development opportunities for our spouse candidates to have on live and on-demand training where they can have upskilling. They can learn a new skill. They can take classes within their own career field to remain relevant, to stay on top of industry best practices. We actually have a skills build platform in partnership with IBM that has different trainings that our candidates can participate in. In addition to, we can get them set up in Udemy and Coursera for more lengthy type classes and training opportunities. But their career specialist that works hand in hand with that personalized support that I was talking about earlier can identify some classes, some training, some different outside resources that might be available to assist that Army spouse that may not be ready for whatever reason due to this chapter in their life to be in the workforce, but they can remain workforce ready for whenever the time comes that they're ready to push apply on that application.
Yeah, I want to speak just for a second about kind of echoing the importance of, I wouldn't say staying busy, but staying intentional, because we can be super busy while we're not working, but maybe it's not as intentional or pointed in the direction we'd like to go for future experiences. Army Wife Network is all volunteer powered, including myself. And as I mentioned before we push record, you know, I've been with the organization for 8+ years, on the command team for 6. And we've just recently had 2 of our command team members specifically say, I just landed an incredible job, and it's because I was volunteering with Army Wife Network, because it's a job just without the paycheck. You know, and so when it's time to go back, and what I joke as work for real people dollars, mm-hmm. not just feel good dollars or Jesus dollars or Army Wife dollars or whatever you want to call it, I think that makes a huge difference, because a lot of the skills you can hone, whether that's through the courses, the experiences, that tailoring opportunity with Army Up campaign, or volunteering with a specific organization remotely, because all of our stuff is also remote, I think can be an absolute game changer when it comes to filling those gaps on the resume and moving forward in your career experience and ambitions. So let's shift gears just a touch for a moment here. What's been the economic impact of your services over at Army Up Outreach Career Campaign?
So we celebrate each and every person that is placed into a job or gets meaningful employment. Because there's been recent studies that show that 30% of individual military families in the junior ranks struggle with food insecurity. And so we know a factor that diminishes that food insecurity is having that dual income families, so that you're not just a single income family. And right now, with inflation and with housing prices going up, it is more important than ever that there are opportunities for spouses of service members to contribute to their family purchasing power. And so while we look at it on a very intrinsic level, we also recently, I did some more community-based economic numbers to look at what some of our economic impacts have been beyond just the individual employment pieces that we see, which we always celebrate. But Sharita, I think you're in El Paso.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we ran some numbers for the impact for Fort Bliss, and we looked at a 6-month period. So people who got jobs in the local Fort Bliss community, and the economic impact for the El Paso greater area was over the course of a year is going to be $400,000.
Wow.
And so we know that's going to have an impact on El Paso, because mm-hmm. Those are jobs for other people. Those are jobs for other Army spouses that are at Fort Bliss. Those are improving economic conditions in the area as well. And so I'm actually stationed at Fort Hood, and the economic impact over that 6 months of time frame for people who got employment is nearly 700,000 in the greater Killeen area. And so those are numbers that we celebrate both on an individual level, but also at a larger community level, because we know what that means economically for those installations.
Oh, I love that you crunched the numbers and shared that. And it just kind of just makes me smile, first of all. And also, like, for those of you maybe not familiar with El Paso and the surrounding area, even though the cost of housing and inflation is on its way up, the cost of living typically in El Paso is very low. Like, the poverty level here is very high, not necessarily probably with the military community, but just with the other surrounding cultural community. And so at the macro level, maybe $400,000 isn't like, wow, that's earth shattering. But when you look at where we're at and the impact that can have on our community, and honestly, how unfortunately the pandemic has impacted our city and our county, I think that can make quite the empowering difference for military spouses and everyone living in the El Paso area or wherever you're listening from. So I appreciate that perspective and you doing the legwork to kind of share that info with us. And I've had such a great time chatting with both you gals, Angie and Denise. And so we're about to wrap up our conversation, but before we do, I would love it if you could remind our listeners where they can go to find even more empowering information about your specific resources.
So primarily we have two big events that we attend a year. One was this past April in Nash Vegas, as I like to call it. But it is Quad A, and that's the Army Aviation Association Symposium. And then usually when we're co-located with a big event, we try to hit some of the surrounding posts, like Fort Campbell. And then in October, we will be at AUSA, which is the Association of the U.S. Army. And it's a big organization that advocates for soldiers and family issues. So we'll be there in October. And then, of course, on LinkedIn. And then we have something that's called Hot Jobs, Vet Jobs, and Military Spouse Jobs. So if you just want to kind of look at some of the jobs that we post, you can check those out on Facebook. And then Angie and I, we are not podcast worthy, or maybe after this session we will be. But we did something called Army Up Table Talks. And you can find that on YouTube. And we really had some phenomenal interviews with just Army spouse professionals. We've got Mrs. Maria McConville, you know, where she talks about licensure and reciprocity, which we know, you know, is a huge factor for spouses. And then she kind of talks about her own personal challenges with employment. And then, you know, lastly, you know, we are always open. If you have a family support group that you'd love for us to come and maybe do a video session, you know, we're very happy to do that. So you can always reach out to me at D Lewis. So D Lewis at militaryspousejobs.org.
Oh, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And again, folks, if you're not able to capture all of that, that information will be on our show notes once this podcast goes live, and that goes out, of course, on armywifenetwork.com, but also on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Amazon, all the places, all the things. And it will also be on social media if you want to follow up with that. So as you gals know, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is, of course, empowerment. One of our favorite parts of the show is hearing what empowerment means to our guests. As we conclude, can you complete this sentence? Empowerment is...
Empowerment is the freedom to pursue one's own goals.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Denise, thoughts on empowerment?
All right. Empowerment is the ability to be a financial contributor to my family.
Oh, I love that. Two very relevant yet very unique and, hey, what's up, tailored responses from both of you gals. So I love what you mentioned, Angie, like the freedom to pursue your goals, because I think that encapsulates empowerment. Because often when we think of the opposite of empowerment, honestly, the word that comes to mind for me is deprivation or being deprived. Like, as military spouses, it's so easy to say, well, I don't get to choose where I live, or when she's here, gone, or where my family's at, or fill in the blank. But instead, that empowerment perspective, shifting it to the freedom to pursue your goals. Like, that's what empowerment is. And then Denise, I also agree with being able to financially contribute to your family, even if it's a part-time job with just a little bit of wiggle room. That's the thing that I'm most excited about moving in back into the workforce, just maybe a little bit more fun money to be able to take care of ourselves, make some memories with our kiddos, travel when we get the chance. So ladies, Angie, Denise, thank you so much for sharing your advice to keep military spouse career aspirations thriving in this military life with the Army Up Outreach Career Campaign. And as always, we thank you so much for serving our entire military community.
Thanks so much for having us. We enjoyed being with you today.
Absolutely. Now we're going to swing back over to our host in our metaphorical studios to get their thoughts on today's conversation with Angie Fair and Denise Lewis of the Army Up Outreach Career Campaign. Back to you, ladies.
What a great interview. Thank you to Angie Fair and Denise Lewis for sharing such empowering resources with us this week. Again, if you would like to connect with the Army Up Career Campaign online, you can follow them on social media at Vet Jobs Military Spouse Jobs. If you missed that, don't worry. All of that information will be in our show notes on armywifenetwork.com by clicking podcasts or searching for this episode on our website. So, Caitlin, what did you think of this interview?
I thought it was great. I personally have never heard of them before, but they have a lot of great resources, and I really appreciate how in-depth and one-on-one they go with each individual that they work with, because as they mentioned, everyone's situation is different and there is no cookie cutter answer.
I loved that. The personalized plan to your career success. Like I'm there for that. Like I'm in the stay at home mom life right now, but when I'm ready, but they also have, you know, they talked about, they have ways to keep engaged with your industry when you're still, when you're not ready to go back to work or you're, you know, not able to.
Yeah.
I love that too.
And I loved that they also brought up volunteering as a way to keep your resume active, yes, even when you're not holding a paying position.
Yes, exactly. Not only do you get, like, you get to try out skills that you, and learn new skills potentially, but you also get, at least I get, fulfillment from it, you know?
Absolutely. It's definitely something that can teach you a lot, because most places that you can volunteer with will teach you the world if you are willing to help.
Yeah. And you get to network at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You get to meet so many different people that you never know, because you never know who is going to like help connect you to your next job. And that knowing someone sometimes helps more than what you know.
Absolutely. Always a benefit to have that in when you're PCSing and you know someone within a company that you're seeking employment with.
Yes, I love, and they've been around since 2004.
Yes.
You know, and I appreciate that they are doing the Army Up career campaign to reach out to spouses and make sure that they know about it, because clearly we're two spouses and we did not know about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love that they serve all branches, even though,
yes,
with their name, they do emphasize the Army. They're all inclusive, which is amazing.
Yes. No, that's super helpful. And I think they were talking about in October, they're going to be in an event with the AUSA. I don't know if they mentioned where, but I love that they work with other organizations as well.
Absolutely. I will have to find them on social media so I can keep up with that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been such a privilege to share empowering interviews with our Army Wife Network fans and followers. Speaking of empowerment, let's hear from our empowerment agent, Amanda Bicknies, bringing us our weekly Empowerment Patrol report.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol report. Today, we are showcasing one of our volunteers, who is an MRE winner, and by the way, that stands for Motivated and Ready to Empower. So a huge congratulations to our command team member, our content editor, Kathleen Palmer. Kathleen is an educator and project seeker from Texas. In her 25 years as an Army wife, Kathleen has taught and coached in 6 different states and Germany. Kathleen has a big heart for both Army families and soldiers, having served as a Soldier for Life counselor in both Germany and Korea. Her favorite part of Army life is her acquired community of battle buddies. Kathleen loves words, both speaking and writing them, and has contributed to AWN, NMFA, the Fort Hood Sentinel, the Army Spouse Handbook, Inside Abu Ghraib, Memoirs of 2 U.S. Military Intelligence Officers, and the Army War College at Carlisle. Her favorite writing piece about being an Army wife is The Lady in the Gray Suit, which was published in 2015 in Proud to Be, Writing by American Warriors. You can find her on Instagram, Facebook, or on her website. Life is messy. Love big. Just like Kathleen, the site is a work in progress. We love you, Kathleen. Thank you so much for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. And thank you for your contribution every month to us here at Army Wife Network. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone in this military life journey.
Congratulations to Kathleen. We will be in touch with you soon to coordinate prize distribution. Listeners, if you or someone you know is empowering those around you, head over to armywifenetwork.com to nominate them. On our website, simply look under the menu for Get Involved and click the tab Everyday Empowerment or AWN Empowers. You can also view our previous winners in our Empowerment Gallery. Now let's check in with this week's top stories from our incredible News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt.
No news is typically good news in this military life, except on Army Wife Talk Radio. Here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Caitlin and Annie. Here are this week's top stories. Jacob Kaminsky, a robotics engineering graduate student at Worcester Polytechnic Institute in Massachusetts, received a grim message from his friend, a surgeon in Ukraine. Tourniquets were in short supply, and without them, many Ukrainian soldiers could bleed out and die, reported Stars and Stripes. Kaminsky thought he could design a tourniquet that could be 3D printed. 8 versions later, he created a design durable enough for war, but also easy enough for a soldier to use. He uploaded the design to the internet, where other individuals and companies with 3D printers have accessed it. Together, they have printed roughly 5,000 reusable tourniquets that are bound for Ukraine. The printed pieces will be stitched to cloth and then sent to the battlefield. It's a beautiful thing, he said. If you make people in Ukraine feel better and enable people to help, this is something really special. Read more at stripes.com. A bit of relief is coming for those of you facing official travel this summer, reported military.com. The mileage rate for PCSing will be increasing from 18 cents to 22 cents per mile. For those traveling for TDY, the rate will increase from about 59 cents to 63 cents for the second half of the year. Record high fuel costs prompted the IRS to bump up its benchmark standard mileage expense rate. Read more at military.com. At a NASCAR Memorial Day weekend race, one car was decked out in an olive drab design by Air Force Staff Sergeant Sabatino DiMaggio. His design paid homage to the C-47s flown in World War II, reported the Department of Defense. I wanted to design a car that stood out and signified a great part of our history, both Air Force and Army Air Corps, said DiMaggio. The number 31 Chevrolet Camaro SS is driven by Jordan Anderson, who agreed to use the patriotic color scheme. It turns out that Anderson's grandfather, Major Ralph Clifton Anderson Sr., flew into D-Day on a C-47, DiMaggio said. The design featured a color scheme of olive drab, gold plating, and black and white invasion stripes like the ones that were painted on Allied aircraft during World War II. The stripes were crucial for crews returning to their bases to be identified as friendly aircraft. Check out pictures of the final design at defense.gov. And this week in history, I'm going off script just a little bit this week since we're heading into a little summer break here at Army Wife Talk Radio. Summer is in full swing, and I hope that you are finding ways to enjoy this toasty season. Here are a few fun summer facts I dug up. Number one, there are more than 2,000 museums participating in the Blue Star Museum program this summer. It's a great way to plan an inexpensive day trip to a museum near you. Next, did you know that Americans eat enough hot dogs on July 4th to stretch from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles 5 times? Maybe this summer you could choose a new food to try grilling. Oddly enough, a hot dog stand was rumored to have no fewer than 2 Russian missiles aimed at it during the duration of the Cold War. It was said that the Soviet Union watched the comings and goings of top U.S. military brass in and out of a tiny structure in the middle of the Pentagon courtyard every day. They surmised it must be an important planning center or command and control bunker. Turns out, it was just really good hot dogs. Number three, humans are scientifically proven to be happier in the summer, according to a 2011 study published in the journal Science. Clearly, they didn't interview anyone stationed at 29 Palms or Fort Bliss. Actually, according to Military Times, the hottest bases are Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, Arizona, MacDill Air Force Base, Florida, and Homestead Air Reserve Base, Florida. Yikes. Hope you got your AC on. And finally, if you're lucky enough to be stationed near Fairbanks, Alaska, you can attend the Alaska Gold Panners annual Midnight Sun baseball game. It's held every year on July 21st. This year is their 117th celebration. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
I'm so grateful for Jolene's desire to bring us the most up-to-date military life news and make sure that we are informed as we can be as things change so quickly. Now, as promised, it's time for the double part of this week's double feature program. Jing and Hisako joining us on behalf of First Command Financial Services.
Hello, listeners. This is Dr. Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. Since you're hearing my voice for yet a second time during this broadcast, that can only mean one thing. It's time for a double feature. I am so privileged to welcome two guests from our Army Wife Network sponsor, First Command Financial Services. Our first guest today is Jing Lisenby, who's been an Air Force spouse for 11 years and working as a First Command Financial Advisor for 6. Her work is mainly focused on coaching our military families to be financially squared away during their time in the service and as they transition into civilian life. The second part of today's dynamic duo is Hisako Santavile, the Senior Advisor for Research and Innovation at Hiring Our Heroes. She manages the strategic execution of research and initiatives that support military spouses and veterans' abilities to thrive in the workplace. Hisako is also the spouse of a retired Marine. They're both joining us today to discuss how career challenges affect military spouses and how Jing's been able to overcome them. I'm excited to share this because I personally know that many spouses who would like to grow that steady long-term career, but just can't make it happen very easily due to this military life. So I know you're going to have some great tips for us. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me as well.
So we're going to start out here. Jing, before we dive into your journey as a military spouse, I want to talk a bit about the partnership First Command has with Hiring Our Heroes and Military Spouse Survey that recently had been done and coming out very soon. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Of course. Hiring Our Heroes is a natural partner for First Command because they focus on creating economic opportunities for transitioning service members, veterans, and military spouses. And we hire as First Command and serve that community very often. Together, we wanted to understand how military spouses' employment challenges can impact their long-term financial futures and how we can take real steps towards helping them feel empowered to make smart financial decisions.
Oh, that's great. I really appreciate how you all do that. And I'm a big fan of First Command. We've had a First Command financial advisor for several years now here in El Paso. And so shifting in that direction of that military spouse employment, Hisako, could you share some of the results of the survey?
Yeah, absolutely. So in February of this year, we had over 4,100 military spouses participate in an online survey that we fielded. And we did this in collaboration, of course, with First Command and also Syracuse University's Institutes for Veteran and Military Families. So one of the interesting results that came out of it was, while 61% of survey respondents agree or strongly agree their family depends on two incomes to meet their financial needs, 87% believe the military lifestyle impacts their ability to find jobs at their experience and or education level.
Wow, that's pretty high. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, exactly. We also found that 84% agree or strongly agree that the military service negatively affects their career. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's certainly a struggle that many military spouses undoubtedly relate to, myself included. So Jing, you've had a similar experience. Can you tell our listeners about your journey as a military spouse?
Sure. I met my husband in grad school. We were both studying microbiology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB. He had an education delay, and once he finished his PhD, my husband became active duty. We got married in December of 2010, and I've been following him all over the world since.
So I'm sure as a highly educated spouse, there's some questions that surround that because I'm in that boat too. Would you say it was easier for you to start a career?
Oh my gosh, I wish. I had a really hard time. After grad school, my husband and I, we moved And I took a postdoc job at the university close by, but it wasn't really close to his workplace, his base. So we lived in the middle point, just between both of our jobs, and just commuted. One way was like 45 minutes. It was far. Then when it was time to move again, I couldn't find a job anywhere. I tried for over a year and sent out so many applications, but just kept getting turned down. So I think because I was a military spouse, and they knew I'd only be there for a short period of time. So, but the worst part was getting a response back saying I was overqualified mm-hmm. for that position. I knew I was, but I needed a job. I needed a chance. I just wanted to contribute to the household income.
Oh man, I think a lot of military spouses find that challenging, especially when in so many cases you're overqualified for that role.
Like I said, I sent applications out for about a year and wasn't able to find anything. So when I was working at the university, I worked for the Department of Toxicology. And at that time, the average salary was a lot lower than 50K a year. So after I have attained that, I would say almost highest level of education, it felt a little discouraging to have so much trouble finding something with a decent pay or even related to my field.
Yeah, it's really hard when you want to contribute, but you can't find an employer to take you, especially if they keep saying you're overqualified. That's extremely disheartening.
Yes, exactly. My husband has always said, well, it's our money. It's not just his money. But when I couldn't contribute, I feel guilty in a way for like spending. Mm-hmm. But now I can go shopping because I've earned it.
Yes. Freedom. Let's go shopping spree. Oh, that's so funny. And it's so true, though, because, again, I really identify with that. I just finished my doctorate last fall. And so thank you. And so looking at what that looks like now in this new season, it's uncharted territory for us. And we're like, OK, we can be two incomes now. But what does that look like? So it's a funny recount, Jing, but also very true. So Hisako, I want to pop back over to you and ask, what are some of the other survey results saying?
Sorry about that. Mute button. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, because we're so focused on long-term financial impacts for military spouse employment experience, you know, we geared a lot of our survey questions towards retirement. So a lot of our findings were related to that too. So one of the things we found was when respondents were able to access their employer-sponsored retirement benefits, this positively impacted their confidence in maintaining their standard of living in retirement. So of course, because of instances like frequent relocations as a result of the military lifestyle, almost half of respondents were rarely or never able to fully vest in this employment-sponsored retirement benefits due to not being with an employer long enough to qualify.
Oh, that definitely creates quite the problem for military spouses in their household six.
Yeah, exactly. Here we have spouses who first, you know, struggle to find employment that they need to maintain a two-income household. But once they're in a company where they have the vehicle to help them save, they're then not there long enough to fully take advantage of the benefits.
That's super frustrating. So looking at that, what else did the survey say about military spouse employment?
Yeah, well, we found that while most respondents saved for retirement separate from their service members, many weren't confident in managing their long-term investment and retirement savings accounts. Only 28% of respondents used a financial advisor too, but 42% wanted to. So again, you know, you have those challenges that exist in spouses' ability to grow their wealth and retirement savings once they're able to actually save and contribute towards their retirement, especially if they're able to access those employer-sponsored retirement benefits.
Oh, man. Yeah, it goes without saying that retirement is so important. And so being able to access those employee-sponsored benefits is crucial. But again, that is definitely a gap in this military spouse life because we aren't somewhere long enough to really work on that retirement experience. So Jing, you're a financial coach at First Command. What made you interested in becoming one?
It is really funny actually how everything started because I had no background in finance at the time. So I remember like talking about financial planning. My husband had mentioned that we need more life insurance after our oldest was born in Australia. I'm like, why? I'm like, why? I did not understand anything about financial planning. I just had no clue. But the reason I decided to pursue this career was because I really wanted to do something that will help people. Just like Hisako mentioned, some of the challenges the military's family face, I just want to be part of that solution to help them.
Okay, so you've kind of addressed the why, like the heart behind it. This is something you wanted to do, looking at the big picture. But let's talk about the how. How exactly did you get started with First Command?
That was back in 2015. We had just moved back from overseas assignment. We were in Australia for 2.5 years and PCS'd, moved to the Air Force Academy in Colorado. I decided to go to a networking event, was hosted there, and met a district advisor with First Command. So we talked for a bit, and then my husband and I sat down with him to learn more about the career opportunity and to become a financial advisor, and also like to talk about financial planning for our family too.
That's quite the big jump from your background with your education, you know, your higher education, essentially no background in finance, just, you know, really high education and other things, to becoming a licensed advisor. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
I've had a lot of support and, of course, a lot of training. I studied for 4 months to get my license. So then went through hands-on training at the home office in Fort Worth, Texas. So that's with the First Command. Then I had trainings in my local offices and get settled in there in Colorado. Had help from my DA and other advisors in the office. So one of the best things about First Command is if you have a passion to help others, you will absolutely get the training you need to do it. And people to help you because we share the same passion.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because we've talked a lot on previous interviews with First Command about the great employment opportunities that First Command presents for military spouses, but I've never gotten to hear kind of the firsthand experience, in-depth process of what that looks like. And so clearly they've invested in you, they've equipped you to empower other military spouses and military families around the globe. I want to know, what do you love most about your job now?
I think it's absolutely getting to know people, wonderful people, and then you're making a difference in their lives. I built that connection one family, one person at a time. So for me, it's really not about the money. It's about making a positive impact on someone's life, one person at a time, one family at a time.
Absolutely. That's really what makes it so worthwhile. And you can't put a price on that.
No, right there with you.
And as you mentioned, you definitely relate to all that Hisako has shared from the results, the survey results as well. How did you overcome those challenges?
I think it's all come down to being open-minded. Well, we moved back from Australia. I didn't work for 2.5 years. I was hesitating. It's not like I didn't try to find work, but just with moving so frequently, it's hard because you can't build your career in one area. But First Command gave me an opportunity to have a career that I can take with me.
How many times, I want to know this, because I know First Command has offices all around the world, and that's one thing I love about the organization. How many times have you moved and been able to retain your job?
Three.
Oh, that is so awesome. How did that process go?
Oh, it was hard. The first time was definitely the hardest because you don't know what to expect. It was just a learning curve. But First Command had a lot of resources to lean on. I was able to prepare for the transition. And once I got to my new location, new offices, I hit ground running, networking, and working side by side with my DA, district advisor, who made sure I was able to get started.
Yeah, it sounds like you've PCS'd a lot in your career and also in general.
Yeah, and there's definitely good and bad in that. The bad is that moving is hard. Mm-hmm. Moving your business is hard. Mm-hmm. When we were in Colorado, say in my Colorado office, I had 95% of our Australian souvenirs displayed in my office, and the whole office got lost during the move.
So that was
heartbreaking. So that was so hard. But then there's also good with, you know, moving from one place to the other. We'll get opportunities to meet new, wonderful people. Thanks to moving frequently and working with First Command, I have had built friendship with people, clients all over the world. And it's always fun to explore new places, even if it's something like maybe you don't necessarily want to be, but as with being open-minded, we can find ways to make it fun for the duration we're there.
I totally agree with that. There's something wonderful about every duty station, whether it's the weather, the food, the people. You know, it can be your least favorite duty station, but if you've got good people or they've got good food, man, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Yes. So Hisako, I'm curious, focusing on workplace flexibility for military spouses to include remote and portable work opportunity is one of the recommendations the survey highlights, right?
Yes. So remote work certainly helps, you know, with providing that flexibility that spouses need to do their day-to-day work. But the portability aspect is also incredibly important because it helps those military spouses grow in tenure at a company. So not only can they earn more in pay and they can take full advantage of employer-sponsored retirement benefits, you know, which are both needed to feel more confident in their ability to maintain their standard of living in retirement, and then also to retire at their anticipated retirement age.
I totally agree with that. I feel like remote work is such a gift for military spouses. I'm currently, you know, with my new job that I just started a few weeks ago, it's a remote work opportunity. And it's just so comforting to know that I'm not going to have to quit that job next time we move. And it gives me the flexibility to be what I call, quote, the default parent, because my husband is still active duty. So if a kid gets sick or they need something or there's appointments, that still falls to me, but with a remote work opportunity, it changes the game for our household. So I'm so glad you brought that up and talked a little bit more about that. Jing, back to you. Can you tell us why this survey was important specifically to you and your experience?
Because I've been there. If more employers are being in that situation, if more employers would be like First Command and care enough not only just to actively hire military spouses, but research why there's employment issues and how to enact change, then we'd be able to give more opportunities to our deserving military families. Financial stress can cause a lot of problems in the families. The more we know and the more insights we have, and the better we can create change for military spouses and the military community at large. The big thing is offering more flexibility, more remote work options, or the options to have a portable career like First Command had offered to me.
Well, Jing, Hisako, I've sure appreciated this conversation. It's so interesting. I'm grateful for that survey you've done. And I'm so thankful for the way that First Command continues to empower military spouses, not only with their financial coaching experiences, but also the possible employment opportunities. So before we wrap up, I want to know, what does empowerment mean to you?
So to me, empowerment is to be knowledgeable. When I talk to a client or a fellow military spouse, and we say, we know what we need to do now to get to where we want to be in the future. Empowerment is helping more people understand their situation and get their plan started now, helping them prepare for their goals by knowing what they need to do to pursue them. That's empowerment, knowing exactly what the next step is.
Well, I have to say, I think that's a super empowering way to wrap up this conversation. Jing, Hisako, such a great resource. Appreciate you sharing with us and your personal anecdotes and stories today. Giving me a lot to think about, and I sure appreciate your support of Army Wife Network with resources and empowerment.
Thank you so much for having me, Sharita. It was so much fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me as well.
So before we close out all the way here, I would love to know if you all could share the best way to contact with someone at First Command for any listeners who might be interested in becoming a First Command financial advisor.
So the website is probably the easiest way to learn more about the job opportunities. That's firstcommand.com.
Easy enough. Firstcommand.com. And Hisako, we would be amiss not to mention how folks can get connected to your empowering organization, Hiring Our Heroes. Can you let them know?
Yeah, so it's going to be the same. Our website's the best place to go. So that's hiringourheroes.org.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies, so much once again. And ladies and gents, as you're listening, again, you can check them out online, firstcommand.com or hiringourheroes.org for more information about whatever you need for all things financial coaching, getting started, getting squared away financially, or getting connected with some potential employment opportunities. We're going to swing it back over to our hosts in our metaphorical studios to hear what they thought of today's double part of today's double feature interview.
Such empowering information once again. Thanks again to First Command and Hiring Our Heroes. Remember, listeners, if you would like to tap into the amazing resources offered by First Command, you can find them on social media at First Command or go to the website firstcommand.com. Okay, Caitlin, what about this interview? What are your thoughts?
I love every time I hear from First Command because I always learn something new. There is so many different resources and just vast information about financial health and well-being that they can provide to service members and their families. So it's always just great to hear another snippet or a refresher if you have heard it before.
Right. And I feel like that's a company, they just care so much about helping military spouses. And as a military spouse, I really appreciate that. So I agree. They've got wonderful resources. They've got great information. And I love that they partnered with Hiring Our Heroes to do a survey together.
Yes, the survey is amazing. And of course, they work with Syracuse, who does every military-based survey I've ever participated in.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
The military and family service department with Syracuse is amazing. They work with a variety of different organizations to conduct surveys relating to military families.
That's awesome.
First Command definitely does it right. They network and partner with the people to make an impact.
Yes. And when Jing was talking about her experience and when she talked about like having a hard time finding a job, but also being told she was overqualified. Oh my goodness. I've been there. And it's just like, but I'm applying. Like, I clearly want this job.
That is me at every duty station.
Oh my goodness.
I've actually gotten calls thinking I was going to get an interview and the manager's laughing like, why do you want this job? I'm not going to pay you what you want.
No way.
You have way too much education to do this job. Like, it's so sad.
I would cry after a phone call like that.
It's rough.
Yeah. And it really resonated with me also when she was talking about like feeling guilty for not contributing financially, you know, to your family income.
Absolutely. Or even if you are and you have education or experience and you don't have a position that utilizes it.
Yeah.
The income that you're bringing in still feels like it's not enough because you know you can do better or you could potentially in a different location or with a different company if you were given that opportunity.
And maybe you're not doing what you know, what you're really passionate about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm so glad they did this survey. It's got a lot of great information in it.
Absolutely. And the surveys always help bring change for the military community because they can use those to take to Congress and other individuals who make those policies that do affect us every day.
Numbers are so powerful. They really are. So it helps to like put it into something that's black and white that you can point to and be like, see, this is how it's affecting it, you know, and this is what's happening.
And even as a spouse who participates in those surveys, when the findings come out, unfortunately, you're still shocked by the answers and how many other people are going through the same things as you.
Because you kind of, it's pretty easy as a military spouse to be like, to feel like you're in it alone. And then when you see surveys like this, you're like, I'm actually not. There are other people that feel the same way I do.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, listeners, as we reach the end of our show, we invite you to join us every Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our weekly Facebook Live MilSpouse Empowerment Moment, which will be converted into a podcast if you need to catch it later. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and our website. Be sure to check out our next full-length episode dropping next week with veteran and author Mike Guardia chatting about his newest book, Danger Forward, The Forgotten Wars of General Paul F. Gordman. We hope you will listen in, then share with your MilSpouse tribe, because we want to empower you to empower others.
Also, another very important note, if you or someone you know has a product or service to share with our listeners and would like to join us on our mission to empower military families, let's chat. Please email empower@armywifenetwork.com.
Finally, if you want to connect with Army Wife Network beyond the podcast, subscribe to our semi-monthly newsletter, The SITREP, on our website at armywifenetwork.com. Just enter your email in the right sidebar or that nifty pop-up on our homepage. We showcase our top blogs, upcoming AWTR information, exclusive printables and giveaways, sponsor information, and more.
Listeners, we think that military spouses are some of the toughest, most empowered people on the planet.
It is truly an honor to share content with you, no matter what season of military life you find yourself in. Keep up the great work and remember that you can do hard things. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.